If there is a photo of you that you do not want shared online, maybe showing more skin than you would like, Facebook is offering a way for you to keep it off their site. But first, you've got to send the photo to Facebook. And this could go all the way to the issue of revenge porn that you may have heard. It's a way to keep images of you that you don't want off of Facebook before something like that gets posted. My guest to talk about an idea to help is Anna Lauren Hoffman. She's a data ethicist and an assistant professor at the University of Washington's Information School. Welcome, Anna.
Hi.
So Facebook is testing this idea in Australia now, I understand. How does it work?
Yeah, so there are a lot of moving parts here, and I think it's important to be clear about the pieces of it that are new and the pieces of it that are not new. So first of all, what Facebook is trying to do is something that a lot of companies have struggled with and also have implemented in some way, shape, or form. In particular, they are interested in preventing and removing content, not just, you know, sort of content you might not be thrilled about, but in particular, harmful content. Revenge porn, as you mentioned, the practice of in particular, exes or spurned lovers or other people sharing and circulating intimate photos of you as an act of revenge and against your will or against your own wishes. This is a problematic practice on a lot of online spaces. And companies to deal with similar problems around child pornography or other kinds of illicit content have developed and employed software that can automatically detect and identify these images when they're posted, and so that our response time to taking them down or responding to them can be quicker, in some cases even preventative.
So you message this, you send this image. Could it be a video too, or are we only talking about photos?
Yes. So in order for this system to work, you have to have a background database of images that the system can identify and learn against. So that then when an image pops up out on the web, on a particular platform, on a particular message board or something, that they can they have something against which to check. And in other cases, like child pornography, you are able to, you have this background database because we've conducted criminal investigations, or there have been arrests and there's been evidence gathered in other cases. And that's how we're able to build that database. In the case of intimate photos and in the case of revenge porn, we don't have that background database. We don't necessarily have that centralized database. And in order for the system to work, you have to build it. And Facebook's response to this is for users that are concerned that that they are the victims of a revenge porn scheme, that they can then upload a photo or the photo in question to Facebook, which Facebook can then use to fuel the software, which will detect the existence of this photo elsewhere on the site.
But it's not just software automatically scanning this photo and filtering it out. It's a human Facebook employee is looking at your potential revenge porn images?
That's right. This is a good reminder of the ways in which the human and the technological are intimately intertwined. So in order for Facebook to determine that your case meets their community standard, and that's a separate issue, we can talk about their standards, but if it in order for them to determine that it meets their standards, they have to have somebody review the case and agree that, yes, this qualifies as revenge porn, or this qualifies as a violation of our terms of service. And
so it's not just, hey, Facebook, I'm the customer. I'm telling you that this is a photo, a drunken wedding photo, and I don't want it on your platform. It's not that. It is limited to something that Facebook deems pornographic?
Yeah, so their argument is that in order for this particular tool to not be abused for exactly this purpose, or for political reasons, you could imagine somebody who you could imagine, say, people who don't want certain kinds of political images, like the Tiananmen Square photo is a famous one. The tank man,
mm-hmm.
And you might have political actors, global political actors, who don't want that photo circulated, and so they might be able to abuse this tool Wow. by uploading a photo that does not sort of violate Facebook's community standards, but then is used. And then the tool is used to automatically identify and take that photo down. So they want that layer of human intervention in order to determine that, yes, this is something that violates our terms of service. This is something we have an interest in keeping off the site.
Okay, so I'm finally getting to, I think, an obvious question. Why in the world would I send Facebook a photo or a video that I desperately want to not be on Facebook? Why would anyone do this?
I think that's a fantastic question, and one I would ask myself. However, I think when you accept the kind of perspective that a Facebook engineer, for example, would take on this problem, that you have this large-scale social, this large social problem around revenge porn and misogyny and abuse online, which is incredibly real, and I want to make sure that's stated clearly and upfront, that. If you have a site as large as Facebook, you have as many users as Facebook does, and you need to police 2 billion users, you want to figure out a way to make this process as seamless and automated as possible. So from that engineering perspective, this makes sense.
It makes sense, yes.
But what that fails to do, and it's something that Facebook and other platforms struggle with repeatedly, is when you put that solution in a larger social context, especially our current political context, where the kinds of abuse that victims of sexual assault and harassment, in particular women, suffer at the hands of men, what you have here is a site that's saying, just trust us. Just go ahead and share with us this photo that has already victimized you. Go ahead and re-victimize yourself by sending us this picture so we can take care of it. And what from a very limited engineering standpoint, it absolutely makes sense. And we've seen it work in other contexts, say child pornography, the automation of this process. But it ignores this larger social and political frame.
It also would seem to be handing to strangers, to some corporation. Here are photos that it's like, here, blackmail me over this. Here's something I've just told you. I'm willing to go to great lengths to keep off of Facebook. Maybe I'm not a trusting person, but it just seems like from a pure skeptical standpoint, I don't know who would hand over their worst moments or their most compromising moments.
Well,
to Facebook.
You know, I think you're right. I think this raises much bigger issues about the kinds of power that a platform like Facebook can wield over not only a handful, not just a handful of users, but billions of users. This may be something that you feel uncomfortable handing over voluntarily, but I think reflecting on the kinds of information that's already circulating about you through the system that you might not have volunteered.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah,
that's fair.
And, even non-users of Facebook get swept up in Facebook's data streams. They get identified in the backgrounds of photos and whatnot. And so I think there is, I recognize that there's this anxiety, but I think we need to take a step back and think about the broader frame of the kinds of data and the kinds of information about us that are circulating through these platforms and the kinds of power that these platforms have.
Well, you're a data ethicist. Is there some way, maybe in the near future, that Facebook or another company could do this with an algorithm instead of a person looking at my compromising photos? Is there a better way?
There are absolutely, you could absolutely, you could go in that other direction and you could automate it from the start. I take issue with the idea that just having a machine look at my photos is somehow less privacy invasive or less offensive than a human.
That's also fair.
I don't necessarily want that intimate photo being, hashed out and circulated throughout a system regardless of the human eyes that are seeing it.
Yes.
But you could, you could think about a system that automates it from the start, and then we run into problems of it overcompensating and you have to petition to get a picture back online because it's taken a picture down that doesn't violate the terms of service. And we've seen this happen on other platforms. And we've seen this happen on Facebook with certain kinds of political news and political images. But I think, you know, I think within the context of Facebook as it exists right now, this may be the best solution available. And what that tells me then is we need to have a much larger scale public conversation about the role of these sites, both in our individual lives and in our broader social and political system.
What do you mean a conversation? Give me one example of something that we could do differently.
Yeah. So what one thing that we need is a stronger sort of buttress or leverage against these companies. I think it became apparent in the last couple of weeks, if anyone followed the Senate hearings over disinformation on social networking sites, that there's a real disconnect right now between how our lawmakers and our most powerful governmental bodies come to understand these systems or think how they think these systems work, and how these sites themselves understand how these systems work. So I think one thing as part of this broader public conversation is what role do we need more powerful actors like regulatory and governmental actors to play as a kind of counterweight against the power being wielded out of Silicon Valley right now?
And if there were a different role, I still want one example of what would happen that to change our lives.
You know,
what should I want?
You know, there are alternative ways to organize social spaces online. More intimate communities with closer sort of community moderation. These are approaches that other platforms and sites have taken. And so I think that we would need to envision social networks outside of the large marketing and advertising driven.
Yeah. Why the big giants?
Yes.
We can do this other ways.
Yes.
More intimately.
Yes.
More community based.
Folks have tried, and I think that presents we need to reconceive of how we socialize online broadly.
You've been listening to Anna Lauren Hoffman, data ethicist. What a great title. We should talk more about what you do. An assistant professor at the University of Washington's Information School about Facebook's idea. Send us your compromising photos and we'll keep them private for you. Anna Lauren Hoffman, good to talk with you. Thank you.
Thank you.